It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live right here on the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. See Sparky Fiverr, Charlie Usen. I'm looking for some light to shine down on Bucks fans right now because we're in a dark, dark space right now, Bucks fans. I kind of feel bad for Eric Name, if I must be honest. He's on hold right now listening to me. Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. Because Eric was, back in the day, we always talk about, was an intern here on WSSP. And he suffered through the bad years. He did. As a fan, he suffered through the bad years. But since he's been covering the team, playoff team every year, competitive championship every year, Giannis, he got to cover them winning a championship. So now, even though this may go off the rails here, he's had a pretty good run. Like, this has been pretty impressive. It's been a nice run for Eric Name. Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm well.
I'm not. So I'm glad you are. This Damian Lillard thing, I have so many questions. So first off, you know, he's not a spring chicken. So if he misses next year, that means his next year playing will be what, age 35 season would be his next year to play? That is a big mountain to climb, I would think, trying to come back from this injury.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty tough for him to get all the way back. And I would imagine when he gets back, he's not going to look like himself pre-injury. Like, Achilles injuries are just so brutal to come back from, and they are not career enders in the way that they used to be, where, like, if you get an Achilles tear, it was just over. Guys can do it more now, and we've seen, obviously, the fact that Dame is just kind of a crazy person when it comes to his workouts and his work ethic. Like, he is going to do everything in his power to get back on the floor. So I'm not going to say I have no doubts, because there's no way I can tell you how he's going to recover, but I have no doubts about how he's going to approach this and how hard he's going to work to get back. It's going to be tough, undeniably. And Achilles can take a year. It could take 8 months. Like, it's going to be a good long while, but he's going to attack it. He's going to try to come back, and we're going to see what he can do. But yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the overwhelming evidence of players and how they react to an Achilles tear, they're just not going to be the same athletes once they get back. And obviously Damian has it in his favor that he is one of the better shooters that we've ever seen in the NBA. So that can help out a little bit, but it is going to be interesting to see, one, when he ends up getting back on the floor, and two, what he looks like when he does.
The Bucks are going to have a very difficult summer, I think, in front of them at this point. Brook Lopez, obviously a guy that is an unrestricted free agent, as is Taurean Prince, as is Gary Trent, as is A.R.J. Green, as is Jericho Sims. Player options on Kevin Porter, Pat Connaughton, and Bobby Portis. I mean, a lot of those guys could very well pick up and be out of here for different situations. How much of this roster do you think it's over, you know, made over without Lillard back and with just Giannis, and can they go with younger, better players all of a sudden in one summer?
I mean, I think there's a high probability that obviously some of these guys aren't going to be back, but I think it's maybe a little bit more manageable than people think, I guess, from the outside. Like, I don't exactly know what the market will be for Gary Trent Jr. or Kevin Porter Jr. after, obviously, GT had that huge Game 3, and Kevin Porter Jr. had a great Game 4, and we'll see what he can do in Game 5. But, I mean, I don't think those guys are getting a full mid-level. That's not really a thing that exists in the NBA free agency classes anymore. We've kind of effectively gotten rid of the middle class. So, you know, could you split up the mid-level and get both of them? I think that's possible. You talked about A.J. Green. He is on a non-guaranteed contract for next year. So essentially that's a team option. So the Bucks can just bring him back if they want to, or they can try to work on an extension for him. And I think when you look at that, that's very possible. Ryan Rollins, I think, is another player that has shown, even in just a short stint in the playoffs, that he can kind of do this. And all of a sudden you do just, let's just say those four moves, right? All of a sudden you have Kevin Porter Jr. at 25 at point guard. You have Ryan Rollins at 22 at point guard. You have A.J. Green, I think, 25 or 26 at shooting guard. You have Gary Trent Jr., 27 at shooting guard. That is substantially younger than they've been in I don't know how long. And when you look at what they've done in the postseason, I think you can trust all of those guys come playoff time, especially for a guy like Ryan Rollins, who's more on the fringe that he's going to be the third point guard. If you can get Damian Lillard back, okay. Like, I can go along with all that. So I think that part is easy. I think where it gets more difficult are the bigs with Brooke Lopez and with Bobby Portis, and how much money you want to think about paying those guys, and how high you will go, and how much of your resources you'll kind of sink into those spots. And I don't want to sink makes it seem like it'd be negative, but I think they're both very good players. But it's just a matter of figuring out from an asset perspective how you try to do this, because one of the guys that does have a guaranteed contract for next year is Kyle Kuzma. And that's a guy that I think through this playoff series we've seen, as much as they may want him to be a perimeter player, they may want him to be a two or a three, that ain't it. He is a four. And you're going to want him to back up Giannis in that regard. And if you need to bump him down to the three sometimes, maybe you do that sometimes. So I do think it's a bit more manageable than you made it seem at the start of this segment. I do think there's a real possibility that, you know, you do lose some of these guys. But overall, like, if you're bringing back five of those guys, like, you've put yourself in a pretty good spot around Giannis. Obviously not the high level talent that you've had in the past when you had a big three with Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, and Giannis, or Drew and Chris and Giannis. But yeah, if we're talking about filling out the roster and having guys that can actually contribute come playoff time, I think it's maybe a little bit more manageable.
Come playoff time. That's okay. So you're in front of me on this one. So you're saying if they bring back Porter, Trent Jr., AJ Green, Ryan Rollins, just say those guys without knowing about Lopez and Bobby Portis, you think they're still a playoff team?
Yes.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope that's what all happens here, because we've been talking about it since 2 o'clock. And my concern in all of this is, if Lillard is out for next year, then does Giannis want to stay here and puddle along and not be a competitive basketball team with no chance at a championship? And then the next year coming off of that, like you said, Lillard's probably not going to be the same player, especially at his age. And then going through that season on top of it, again, without the assets to really add another star player to put you back in a championship form, you're talking about the next 2 years really not being at a championship level for certain.
Yeah, I think what you have to try to figure out, and obviously there's only one person that can decide this, is what Giannis is okay with, right? They won 48 games this year. Do I think it's possible? I think sixth in the East ended up being, what, like 44, 42, somewhere in there, or maybe 42, seventh. Like, you're in a spot where, do I think Giannis in company, pick whoever, guys that I've mentioned, guys that I haven't mentioned, just NBA players. Do I think Giannis and nine NBA players can win 44 games in a season? I do. I think he's that good. I think he's been that good. I think he'll continue to be that good. But I don't know if that's something that he's okay with. Like, he is the only one that can kind of decide what these next few years kind of look like. Obviously, in the past, he's talked about the desire to always contend for a championship. He was just on his brother's podcast the other week and talked about his desire to go get a second ring. And I do obviously believe all of that, but I do think some of those other habits that he's had in the past of not wanting to team up with guys and not wanting to, you know, jump on another team and then all of a sudden have a ring that people think doesn't count. I think those habits and those beliefs aren't dead inside of Giannis. He still is the competitor that he's always been. Undeniably, it will be interesting. But I think if you roll the ball out with Giannis in 8 to 9 rotation players, they are going to have a 500 record. And a 500 record in the Eastern Conference is good enough to make the playoffs.
Eric Name, Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name, host of Bucks fans, I want to get rid of Doc, obviously. I don't see any point of getting rid of Doc. If you're already not going to have Lillard, what does it matter? You're going to have to pay him either way. Why not just continue on with Doc and see how he can help some of these younger players progress going forward? What's your feel on Doc's future?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still got plenty of money on that contract, and he's got plenty of years on that contract. And they've, to me, not really shown any signs of not trusting Doc Rivers anymore. And those are the things that you kind of have to see. Like, you know, I know people sometimes forget our initial reporting, but like Doc Rivers was a consultant for the team before they fired Griff and before he took over. Like, that speaks to a high level trust from the organization in Doc Rivers and his basketball acumen. And obviously there can be plenty of people that disagree with that assessment. My mentions would certainly suggest that there are plenty. But for ownership to go out and get him, sign him, and make him the head coach and do kind of all those things, like, clearly that is a guy that they trust him in. And I just don't think that I've seen enough or heard enough or, you know, been led to believe that they're in a spot where all of a sudden that trust has disappeared. And for that reason, I think you will see Doc Rivers as that coach of the Milwaukee Bucks again next year.
Eric, I want to talk about this series briefly because, well, I think we all believe it's over tomorrow, but why do you think they've been so bad defensively in games 1, 2, and 4?
Because they have been a bad perimeter defensive team this entire season. Like, it's that simple. Like, when you make the decision to have what is what I would call a 3-4 in Torian Prince covering ones and twos.
That's back to coaching, though, Eric. Now you're going right back into this Doc Rivers hole with all these fans, just so you know.
Well, I didn't say I thought it was a good coaching job.
Fair enough.
That isn't something I said.
You're right. You did not. All right, go ahead.
I've been asking questions about why Andre Jackson Jr. is in the rotation all year long. I've been asking, do you really believe that Torian Prince can cover point guards all year long?
Can I just interrupt quickly?
See any Pacers game this year, and I would say, is that really what you believe after the Hawks game this year? I asked, do you really believe that Kyle Kuzma and Torian Prince can be your guys' perimeter lockdown defenders? And Doc Rivers said, yeah. You saw what he did against Trae Young in the fourth quarter. Yeah, we do believe that. So there's been a heavy dose of skepticism from me on that all year long, and to me, it's proven to be accurate here in the postseason. Like, they tried it multiple times, and they just don't have those perimeter defenders in the rotation right now. And honestly, I'll be kind of fascinated. I thought Ryan Rollins was really good defensively in game one. I think Gary Trent Jr. has been very good defensively throughout this series. And I think they're going to lean into AJ Green. I don't think that all of a sudden they're going to have solutions. This is a really rough matchup for Brook Lopez, and they got to try to find some guys to switch a little bit more. But all of a sudden, it's Rollins and Gary Trent Jr. and AJ Green out on the perimeter. Okay, I might buy that a little bit more, and I guess we'll see what they can do tomorrow night in Game 5. But I do think, like, the personnel has been a real problem. They've tried to put guys out of position in certain spots to be a good perimeter defensive team, and that just hasn't worked. And we've seen it be calamitous in 3 of the 4 games.
After game 2, you can ask Charlie, or you can go back and listen to yourself to the podcast. At the very end of the Milwaukee Basketball Postgame Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, after game 2 at night, we played in the last segment. I hear you ask the question about Rollins, who, going into that series, I said should be starting with Lillard in the backcourt once Lillard came back. You ask the question. You lead Doc Rivers to water. You say, hey, you know, Rollins played really well against Tyrese Haliburton in game 1, you know, stopping him defensively in the first quarter of that game. You know, what do you think got away from you, you know, trying to stop him this game or something along those lines? But you included Rollins in the question, kind of hinting at, like, the fact you didn't play this dude the whole freaking night and Haliburton ate you for lunch, and he didn't even mention Rollins in his answer.
I can confirm that did happen.
Oh, my God. I was so livid. I get mad just thinking about it. I was like, oh, there we go. Eric's going to ask about Rollins. And I did it. I paused it, and I go to Charlie. I go, does Doc actually talk about Rollins? And Charlie goes, you're going to have to play it, Sparky. So I played and I just lost my mind after he completely ignored you bringing up Rollins. I was absolutely livid about that. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. Eric Name, Bucks beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. Good luck. Probably your last game tomorrow for the season. Then a little vacation maybe before the draft.
All right. I appreciate it, Spark.